are listening to Book Nerds. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of Book Nuts, a podcast where we talk about audiobooks. We'll probably throw some podcasts and stuff in there, some old time radio shows, just a whole bunch of audio stuff. Now, you don't have to listen to this in audio form. You can read the book and go along too, but you can pass from some of the past episodes. You know why me and my co-host like to listen to books instead of reading them. And before I continue, make sure if you want to contact us or if you want to join us, just contact me at tracy@podnuts.com and give us a suggestion and say, I want to join in. And there you go. And then the first part of this podcast, we're going to talk about a book, non-spoiler, and we will tell you when the spoiler comes in so you can stop it. Or if you want to listen to the spoiler, hey, go for it. Again, my name is Tracy, otherwise known as Holster. And my partner in crime, as always, is the one, the only, Mr. Jonathan Nadeau. How are you doing today, Jonathan?
Howdy, y'all. You're used to hearing that, right, Tracy? Howdy, y'all.
Yeah, that's one of the things people always say, you know, in Texas, you know, everybody's howdy and y'all. And don't hear that much. We do hear y'all. And it is kind of a crime down here to get unsweetened tea. If those are people look at you and you say tea and you got to make sure I want unsweetened, and they look at you like, oh, you're Yankee.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what they say. But it's I can live with that because some of the places down here they like a little tea with their sugar.
I can believe it.
It's just too sweet. My teeth hurt. So but I can handle some sweet tea. But actually, I am. Prefer unsweet tea, so I guess that's that.
Well, technically, I mean, you're not a Yankee. What is a North Dakotan? Is that a Yankee?
No, we were farmers from the whole Civil War. We were just a little territory. We were farmers.
You just so, mind your own business. You're like, what's all that racket?
Exactly. Yeah. Get off my yard. That was kind of what we were mountain. Saying. So. Exactly. No mountains in North Dakota. So get off my prairie. That's more about
there
it. Right
go, there you so, go. Yeah, everything's going well here. The Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl, which is awesome. So I'm a big Broncos fan. So that was good. And kids right now, 4 out of 5 kids are down. They're sick. So, you know, that's keeping me busy.
Good, good. And if anybody doesn't know, do you want to pimp up your what you do with Sonar real quick? Because I like to keep that out for everybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I work on a Linux operating system focused on accessibility, assistive technology for people with various types of disabilities. And actually, lately, we build Sonar off of Manjaro Linux, which is a great distribution. And the past probably month or so, they've been doing a lot of awesome work for us, really overhauling. I don't want to say overhauling their build system just for us, but they've really been including us now, and like they practically have kind of built Sonar's build system into like the main branch of Manjaro's build system now, which is awesome.
That is very, very cool. I like to hear that.
Yeah, and then one other exciting thing is Manjaro now is also working on building a ARM port of their operating system to, you know, work on Raspberry Pis and such other type boards, which in turn then means Sonar will be able to be built to work on these other boards. So that's also exciting.
So if that's the case, you could soon have Sonar Linux on a phone.
Well, yeah, I guess technically, but I've heard, I don't have any experience with this, but, cause I haven't yet used like a touch, device with, accessibility, but things that I've read in the past, within the past few years, it seems like there's not much between the accessibility stack and touch. So I don't know how well Sonar would actually work for a blind person, but if you need to use the other system technology, that would probably work. But the screen reader, I believe, does not work with the accessibility stack and touch right now.
Okay. Now, this is totally non-book related, but I do have a question about Sonar, since I'm going down that rabbit hole. What accessibility stuff do you on a computer for a deaf person? Is there anything you do, or is it kind of like just leave out the volume control?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's not too much available. I did stumble across working with someone, and they kind of disappeared for a while, but they built a plugin for, I believe it was Totem, which is kind of like the default media player with GNOME. They worked on like a subtitle thing, basically. So anything you played using Totem, it would put up subtitles on the screen.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
So,
that's cool.
So yeah, so that's kind of the only thing really that would be available, I guess, for a deaf person, you know, to try and access, you know, videos, I guess.
Okay. And if I had to pick one sense gone, for me, hands down, it would be taste. Hopefully, I could lose weight then. So that's why I picked that one. So you know, if everything tastes the same, heck, just eat some tofu and beans and be done, and just carry on.
Yeah, yeah, so, no, I hear you.
But unfortunately, you look at my midsection, you know, my taste buds are just fine. So,
well, especially if you're, you know, grabbing at those pizza rolls you were talking about earlier.
Exactly.
That,
yeah.
That doesn't help the cause.
Exactly. So people that don't know, I was calling Jonathan, I was saying my crack is pizza rolls. I don't search them out in the store. But I really think they see me throw an end display in every time.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'll grab a bag. Okay.
They see you coming in from outside in the parking lot and like, oh, hurry up, get a, you know, get some set up in the middle aisle or whatever.
Here comes Tracy. Put them out.
But yeah,
none of those veggie ones. Get the nice cheesy fattening
exactly.
ones out. He'll grab those.
Exactly. Yeah. I was telling Tracy, we introduced my kids to those like probably a month or two ago. We had like a movie night and we got some like monstrosity bag. It was like, you know, 90 or like 120 of the cheese ones in like this one bag. And we were like, let's just cook them all. And we cooked them all and they were gone. Like the kids just devoured them. They thought they were the best thing in the world.
Exactly. I know that. So, yeah. But before we go down this rabbit hole anymore, we're going to continue on. This one, we are actually going to be doing some episodes on old-time radio shows.
Yeah.
To me, old-time radio shows are the original audiobook. In some sense, the old-time radio shows are actually better than some audiobooks because everyone's an audio drama. You almost always have different characters, different voices. You have sounds. I mean, even if somebody's storming out of the room mad, you got the footprints,
yeah.
You know,
tap, 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 tap
coming out. So it's very, very entertaining. Now, everything we're going to talk about old-time radio is on archive.org. You can just search for them, and there are thousands of old-time radio shows out there. We're going to talk about three. My favorite one is we're going to talk about second, and that's X-1.
Mm.
My second favorite is The Shadow, but I kind of picked these three because they're kind of like across-the-board type. There are comedy ones. I'm more of a fan of the sci-fi mystery, but there are some really good comedy ones out there, Western ones. Gunsmoke, was it Red Rider is another one. You know, that are really good Western ones, too. So pretty much every topic you can kind of think of. Now, Jonathan, before we continue, did you listen to old-time radio shows growing up? Did you listen to them before we really did this? Or just kind of like, whenever you kind of saw when you listened to it?
I knew of them, you know, but I never actually listened to one until you're like, hey, let's check these out. Listen, I was like, yeah, sure, you know. And so I started listening to them, and I was like, you know, I could see why, like, you know, like, the only thing that stuck out in my mind was the movie A Christmas Story, when he talked about, you know, sitting in front of the radio and listening to my favorite show. And like, after listening to these, I could see why, you know, kids couldn't wait for 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever when the shows came on, because it was definitely entertaining for sure. And, you know, it was cool to hear that, you know, like you said, you know, the foot taps and the different voices for the people, you know, acting on everything. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it is like a TV without picture, with all the sounds, all the characters. They got background noises and everything like that. So it really makes you use your imagination.
Yeah.
Just like reading a book. It really forces you to imagine. That was kind of like one of the books I read growing up, Stephen King, was It.
Mm.
And the image of It, and when they made the movie, I saw it. I was so disappointed because that's when it really stuck in me. And it was like, wait, that's not what it's supposed to look like. And I was like, well, I guess it could. That's not mine.
Yeah.
So that's one nice thing I like about this is old-time radio. It really gets your imagination going, which I think is really good with kids. In my opinion, today's kids have too much sensory overload on them.
Oh, yeah.
So when they don't have a lot of stuff, they just shut down and don't care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So some old-time radio stuff will do that. So good. That's good. Well, the first one we're going to talk about is, and this is one of my favorite ones, it's called The Whistler. Okay, the Whistler ran from about 1942 to 1945, and the one we are going to be doing today is called, I just lost my train.
I don't remember off the top of my head what it was called.
Yeah, it's the number one, okay? It's episode 001, and it was on May 16th, 1942. And this episode's going to be a little different. We're not going to have a spoiler-unspoiler section.
Yeah.
You can listen to all, they're all three of these are less than 30 minutes each. The last one maybe is 40 minutes, but you can listen to them and come back if you want, but we're just going to start talking about them. But the Whistler is basically a character who, you kind of hear him whistling, you know, a little bit, but
yeah.
he's basically almost like a narrator who kind of like steers people in the right way.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best way to kind of describe him in a way. But the Whistler, they say, was originally sponsored by the Signal Oil Company.
Hmm.
So old-time radio shows generally had one big sponsor, and then later on by Campbell Soup Company.
Yeah, and if people are interested, the ads were not in the like the audio file. So
yeah, some of them are some of them you will hear some ads. Usually they're pretty good ads, you know. Once in a while you might get a cigarette one.
Yeah.
You know, like the clean, smooth cigarette.
Yeah,
well,
yes.
Yeah, come on now. You know. Yeah. But it most of the time you're gonna see coal, soup. Or oil. Those seem to be the big sponsors of the day. But yeah, this one was basically about a girl coming to live with kind of her stepdad, I guess you would call him. And some weird stuff is happening in the house, and she does not like the house at all.
Yeah. Well, I guess to preface that, though, the guy was married to this girl's mom. And this girl's mom had just kind of like left him, like disappeared and left. He couldn't find her. And
disappeared.
Yeah. And then like, you know, then fast forward, it was like, I don't know, 17, 18, 19 years or something. And she ended up coming back into this guy's life. The mother of this daughter came back into her ex-husband's life.
Yeah. And that's kind of when stuff started coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weird. And then a little while later, his brother comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And when his brother comes back, it's like, oh, I had some hard times. You know, you were always better than me. I'm sorry, heart. You know, I'm not feeling good. I'm sick. I got malaria. And the brother who didn't run away was kind of open to saying, hey, here, have some money. Go see the doctor. Spend the night here tonight. And then when you leave tomorrow, just let me know how I can help you.
Yeah.
Well, come the next morning, the main character disappeared. The original guy that whose wife left him and left him with that daughter just disappeared. So went on for a little bit, for a couple days, and to find out later, the girl that came back was with this other guy, actually wanted to kill the main guy on there for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to scare the girl off by doing stuff around the house. But they accidentally killed his brother by mistake. Well, the original brother wanted to kill his brother because he found out by what he was saying that his original wife actually left with him.
Right, exactly.
So he was trying to find a way where he could plot and kill him myself. So in the end, the original guy had his daughter and they were left alone, and the couple was sent to jail for murder, and his brother was killed and out of his life. So it was kind of like a win-win-win-win situation for the main guy.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. Cause when the wife came back to him, you know, the ex-wife, she was like, oh, I ended up having a daughter and, you know, she's really smart. I tried putting her through school, and she wanted to like, hopefully, you know, introduce his, well, she also said, oh, it's your daughter, by the way. You know,
right.
I ran off and I had this daughter and here she is now. And so she brought her back hoping that, you know, she would have entitlement to like his estate at some point, you know?
Right. Yeah. So that was the original, the number one episode of The Whistler. So what did you think of The Whistler?
I liked it. The only thing, I guess if I listened to more episodes, it was a little hard to tell the Whistler's not position, but like his role in the whole thing.
Right.
You know, that was a little like, I was like, I kind of don't get this guy, you know, but I'm sure, you know, if I listen to two, three or more episodes, I'm like, oh, okay, now, you know, now I get it. I'm sure.
He's not like the Shadow where he's like the main detective. He's kind of like the overseer and guide person.
Yeah.
Let me say that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best way to describe the Whistler. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what did you think of the Whistler?
I would give it, now if I take everything into consideration, like the sound quality and all that, and the story and all, I would say between 6 and 7. And obviously the sound quality can only be so good, but this one was like really staticky. So who know? I have no clue where they're getting the audio from, but I'd imagine it sounded better than, you know, if I would have heard it originally, like on the radio. But they did do a good job. Like we said, there's like foot stomps and, you know, you hear the door closing and you hear the wind blowing and stuff like that. So that was cool. So the story was pretty good. Like I said, I would say 6 or 7. I would definitely listen to more in the series. And that number would probably go up if, you know, I heard more than just the one episode.
Okay, yeah, mine, I'd give it, I don't dog any old-time radio for the little static, because they were all recorded over the air onto a reel-to-reel.
Okay.
Where almost every time it was not recorded, let's say they're broadcasting NBC Studios New York. Well, NBC New York didn't record anything, they just broadcast it.
Okay.
What happened was affiliate in Des Moines, Iowa would put it on a reel-to-reel so they could broadcast it later because they got a local sports game on right now.
That's how they would syndicate it.
So, right, so that was there. So they're actually recording it over the air.
Okay, that makes sense.
Almost always. Sometimes they did record it locally. Like our third one we talk about, probably the biggest, the most popular old-time radio show of all time. We'll get into that later. The third one we'll talk about here.
Yeah.
That one, I think, was recorded on the spot.
Yeah, I was
somewhere,
gonna say, that one was pristine. That's why I was like, was that the original, was that the original airing? Because that one sounded great.
Right. That's how you can kind of tell how it was recorded. If they're static, you know it was recorded by a local affiliate somewhere. And if it was crystal, you know it was probably recorded in-house.
Okay.
So that's why that. So, yeah, I'd probably give this in somewhere between a 7 and an 8. Good story. Good turns. I kind of guessed it out the first time I listened to it, what was kind of going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, probably 3/4 of the way through.
Yeah.
So, but it's because you just kind of know a story like that, the main character's not going to die. It was like, come on.
Yeah,
no.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like your first movie in a series of 10. Well, you know he's not going to die for at least 10 episodes.
Exactly.
You know? So it was like one of those things. So, but yeah, so it's not bad. So that was that one. The next one we're going to talk about is by far the most popular, in my opinion, my favorite, old-time radio shows, it's X-1.
Yeah, this one was pretty cool.
X-1, it is the granddaddy of all science fiction shows. If you go to X-1, almost all their shows were turned into movies later on. They were turned into other shows. Twilight Zone took a lot of... Twilight Zone took almost every one of their episodes came from X-1.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. It probably the biggest sci-fi when it came out. It's probably hard to say. I hate just, you know, ooh and aahing about it, but it's the big granddaddy that people don't know.
Yeah. What year did the particular one that we listened to, do you know roughly what year that came out?
Yeah, we listened to The Tunnel Under the World.
Yeah.
There was an X-1 had a spinoff called Dimension X.
Okay.
So, and X-1 was done from beginning of 55 through 58.
Okay.
And the one we were listening to was done in 1956.
Okay. I mean, when we talk more about it, but I mean the subject matter that this particular episode covered, that was very forward thinking. I was like, wow.
Yes.
That's pretty crazy.
When you think about that, it's this actually was The Tunnel Under the World. It's a story by Frederick Pohl. Basically, there was a few science fiction books in the late 40s and through the 50s, and it was short stories. And this was actually one of those short stories that a Frederick Pohl wrote. Mm. And X-1 would buy the rights to him and do the shows. So, and they say this one was also done in BBC in 1966 as a TV. That would be pretty good. Mm. They did it, the Italians did it, and the French did it too.
And also about this episode, I noticed this was on LibriVox, actually. So it seemed like someone had the script, or maybe it was a short story, and they just reread the story. So this audio quality was like way, 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 way better because, you know, it's newer recording.
Yep. So basically what this was, X-1, this episode, Tunnel of the World, it starts out with this guy having a nightmare and just something's not right. And he goes to work and something's not right at work. And he goes home, goes to sleep, wakes up. And it's the same day.
Yeah, it was June 15th, the first time, you know, in chapter one. He goes yep. about his day, goes to sleep, wakes up almost the same way, and, you know, wakes up from a nightmare, you know, same type of nightmare, you know, looks at the date, June 15th.
Yep, this is the original Groundhog Day movie.
Yeah, exactly.
just woke up every day. And this goes on for a little bit, and there's a guy, he kind of an acquaintance when he takes the bus to work, that he starts to talk to a little bit. Mm. And this other guy's kind of, same thing's kind of happening. But the other guy is really paranoid, you know, about, you know, we got to keep this a secret or we are in trouble.
Yeah.
And this main character's like, no, we need to tell the police. We need to go find somebody major. And so basically it goes on here and there. So I don't want to give you all the details about this book. But you talk about how it ends, because you brought that up earlier.
Yeah. So one of the things that's going on when, you know, he goes to sleep, he wakes up. One of the things that happens like differently every day that he wakes up is he notices like the advertising has changed. He's like, he'll one day they're talking about this freezer company. He's like, ooh, these guys, I never heard of them before. And then like the next day he notices like in the elevator, like, all these commercials he never heard before. He's like, what are, you know, the different types of music he's never heard, or like these candy bars or like other things. He's like, what is this company? Never heard of these guys. Where'd they come from? And so that's kind of one of the main thing that's changing every day is these different advertisements he's hearing and the way the advertisements are delivered. And so, you know, so it's staying the same day. And so at the end of the book, he noticed this one girl who he kind of kept seeing, but she kept having like these different jobs, and he called her by her name this one time, and she went running off because she was like, oh wait, he shouldn't remember who I am. And so basically at the end of the book, he discovers that it's really kind of hard, I guess, to describe it all quickly, but basically he realizes that they're all like these robot kind of people. He's dead, but he's been turned into this robot. She, on the other hand, is like alive, but this other guy made her into, she's like this 60-year-old woman, but this other guy kind of like took her conscience or whatever and put her into this robot so she could be like this younger, more attractive woman. And so the main character is like, we need to tell the police. We need to tell, you know, whoever. This is wrong. You guys are, you know, basically like abusing us. You kidnapped us. You keep it June 15th, and you keep showing us all these advertisements. And so the main kind of, I guess, bad guy comes in and says, well, your whole town exploded. Everyone blew up, and I saved the whole town. And well, not saved them, but I took the whole town and recreated everything. So every day is always June 15th. And basically they use the June 15th day to measure their advertising. Like, okay, people were most affected by this advertisement. People were most affected by this company. And so it's like this whole big advertising test bed of how people react to advertisements. It was crazy. Like the first time I read it, I was like, wow, that's amazing. That's an amazing story. Like this is an older story. And for someone to be writing something about that, you know, 60 years ago, I was like, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's in almost every episode of X-1 is like that. Towards the end, you're like, wow. You know, it's That's one thing about X-1. They all have great stories. Every one of them is great stories.
Yeah.
So
I guess the one last little tidbit is that really threw me kind of felt like for another loop at the very end, because the guy was like, I'm leaving, I'm out of here, I'm going to the next town and I'm telling the cops or something, and the guy's like, all right, fine, go ahead. And so he starts walking away, and he's walking for a while, and then right at the end, he was like, well, I knew I had to let you go so you'd figure it out for yourself, but basically everyone in the town was this miniature model on a table, and like, so the whole town was recreated to fit on a table. I was like, wow, that's crazy. Like, just one more curveball at the end, you know. It's like, that's cool.
Exactly. So yeah, so that was X-1. I don't want to spend too long on that one because we got another episode to talk about.
I would definitely give it a 9 or a 10. 9.5 for sure. That one was great.
Yeah, for me, I give it a 9. The only reason I give it not a 10 is, and I haven't got a 10 yet, I always keep that for just in case I need it later for
exactly,
something.
Exactly, I hear you.
So that's a good one. Now, the last one we're going to talk about, like we said, is probably the most popular old-time radio show of all time. It was broadcast on Sundays, October 30th, 1938. Aired over Columbia Broadcast System, CBS, and it was narrated by actor and future filmmaker Mr. Orson Welles, okay? And this one was done by the Mercury Theater on the Air. Now, Mercury Theater on the Air, and there was also Columbia House. Basically, they were a bunch of actors and voice actors at that time. Every week, they would do a story. And this one was a Mercury Theater on the Air. And this one, of course, is, dun, 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 War of the Worlds. I'm sure you guys all figured that out by now. But they basically took the book, War of the Worlds, and condensed it. And it's about 45 minutes to an hour, if I remember right, somewhere in there. So obviously it's not as detailed as the book. But it does take all the big points of the book. Now, this was the one where some people actually thought it was real. When they first started out, they would, hey, this is just a story. This isn't real. And then when they would break in from commercials, every now and then, like every couple of them, they would say, this is the, but if you didn't hear that little thing, some people actually thought people were coming from Mars and attacking.
Yeah.
So, and in real life. And the only thing, the one thing I liked how they did start this is they started like a regular old-time radio show where they're listening to music, you know, from some guy in New York.
Yeah, some Spanish, you know, musician. They're like, yeah, listen to the music of playing so-and-so and you know, in New York. And they went to that, you know, the music playing.
Yep. And then they broke in and would say, well, so people are saying some weird stuff happening on Mars. And basically came with, Mars attacked us and yada yada. If you guys have read War of the Worlds, you know, go listen to it, go watch it, you know, whatever you want to do, and you'll kind of get the gist of it. And it basically talks about this guy surviving. And do you want to say how it ended, or do you want me to?
You can.
Okay. Basically, kind of like us with the Native Americans, our germs killed them. You know, they could not handle our germs, and they got sick and they died. He basically went up over a hill and saw these big robot things and creatures outside of them just laying down, and they were all dead. So that's basically how it was. And the original author of H.G. Wells, when he wrote War of the Worlds, he wrote it after Britain went into some country in Africa and just totally decimated them. I forgot, was it Africa?
Was it Libya?
Or, I don't know, or New Zealand, maybe? Maybe it was one of the islands down there, but basically where he saw was like, we came in and just killed everybody because we were so higher technology, you know, what could they do? So he actually wrote War of the Worlds about that. Like, what happens if another planet came to attack us?
Yeah, and again, like, you know, you touched base on it, but I was trying to imagine myself, like, okay, I'm putting myself, like, as someone sitting in their home listening to the radio, and, like, just the way they're, like, cutting in and out of it, you know, they started off saying, Hey, you know, next up is so and so playing it in the New York City Hall, and like they play the music, and then they'd be like, "Oh, wait, this just in. You know, scientists so and so in New Jersey saw these flares in Mars," and they're like, "Let's go to our, you know, our news, you know, news anchor, basically." And like, so they cut to him like speaking with the scientists. "Oh, do you think this is a big deal?" And just the way they kind of kept cutting back, like they'd be like, "Okay, now that this, you know, news, you know, news portion's over, back to the music of so and so," and they'd like play the music again, and then they, you know, they kind of kept breaking in and out, so it totally seemed like a legit, you know, radio thing that was going on, and they like legit news stuff was breaking in, you know, and like I could totally see why some people would get fooled by it, you know, like it was done very well, and the sound quality, that's why, you know, like I said earlier, I asked you, I was like, was this the original, you know, broadcast? Because the sound quality was like, I mean, man, for that to have been recorded 80 years ago, it was top notch.
Yeah, basically the first, like they describe here, the first two-thirds of the one-hour broadcast were presented a series of simulated news bulletins. So, yeah, so that was right on what you said there. So, yeah, so it was really good. Like I said, this is probably the most popular old-time radio show of all time. That's why I put it out there for that.
Yeah.
To me, it was good. I like how he changed it from just, like, doing War of the Worlds. How he made it modern, what was modern to him then.
Yeah.
So I did like that. And for me, I give this one a 9 also, just because good story, good all around, good acting.
Yeah, definitely give it a 9 too.
It was just spot on. So
yeah. And if you want to.
So
I was just going to say, if you want to dip your toes into the old time radio, I would definitely highly suggest, you know, the X-1 and the War of the Worlds for sure. The Whistler was good, but I would definitely say the other two are, you know, not considerably better, but I think they would give you a better taste of the, you know, old time radio stuff for sure.
Yeah, and a good way to get a lot of them, if you go to archive.org, go to Firefox. There's a plugin on Firefox called Download Them All. When I want some of the shows, I go to archive.org and I'll go to like the X-1 page, and there'll be like 100 or so episodes on there. Open up, Download Them All, and say boop, download all the OGG, you know, or download all the MP3. And then I get all the episodes at once and just do that overnight.
Then
the next morning, I got all the episodes. Yep.
Exactly.
So archive.org if you want to get into more old-time radio shows. And a lot of times this is called OTR, old-time radio.
There are
sites out there where you...
I was going to say, or LibriVox, too. Like I said, the X-1 was on LibriVox, so you can check that out, too.
Yeah. And there are some apps for your phone, whether iPhone or Android. That are old-time radio-based, and they'll play some different episodes here and there. Probably don't have the biggest selection, but you'll have some there and there. So old-time radio shows are really good for me. When I used to listen to them all the time when I'd go on road trips. So good. So now that I got your feet wet with old-time radio shows, do you think you're going to listen to more?
Yeah, I definitely want to check out more of the X-1 for sure.
Yeah, that's like it says, if you're a sci-fi person, go to X-1. And Dimension X was a spinoff, which I like too. So Dimension X is another one to listen to there. So good. Well, thank you. Thanks for going those over with me, since this was kind of like one I really kind of wanted to do at the old-time radio.
Yeah, no problem.
So again, if anybody wants to get a hold of us, just email at tracy@podnuts.com. And if you want to join us on the show, if you have any suggestions for us. And right now we do have one. I want to talk about one email we did get in. And this is from Johnny Hawkins. He wrote probably the longest email I've ever got for a podcast. And I want to make sure, Johnny, thank you for that. He basically was saying that, you know, he listened to Pod Nuts, but this is spot on for him. And he really hit a spot to him because of his mom. And when Jonathan was talking about the Victor, you know, reader stream and everything like that, that it was really spot on because his mom was becoming sight impaired. And when Jonathan was talking about what he does, he said he really did that. And he actually gave us a couple of book selections. I mean, Jonathan already talked about it. And one of them we are going to do coming up here is The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexander Dumas.
Yes.
So that one is going to be on our list. And he gave us a couple more, so we're going to do that. So, and I'm not going to read the whole email, but it was a really, really good email. And Johnny, thank you for writing that. Thank you for taking your time for that, too.
Yeah, and I'll be replying back to it also. So.
Perfect, perfect. So good. So next book we are going to be talking about is by Joe Nobody called Holding Their Own. And it is book one of a series. And it is a good book. This I'm going to give you a tease here for next week. This was one book when I started it, I could not stop. I stayed up really late, later than I should have. Barely got any sleep, and then when I got up, I started listening to it right away in the morning again. So that's all I'm going to go into it right there. So any last thing you want to talk about, Jonathan?
No, I guess only two things. Well, if you want to reach me, just email Tracy at Podnuts. He'll send it to me. And the next thing is don't forget to support Podnuts. Go to podnuts.com/Amazon.
Yes, thank you. And as always, I like to say, people, make sure you go bother Steve, yes. Door-to-Door Geek, and say, Jonathan and Tracy said, I'm supposed to bother you.
Yes, he loves it.
And yes, so make sure you go do that. Use our name, drop our name, and you don't get blamed for it. We will. So, you know, we don't care. So, again, thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will see you again next week. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening.
See you.